All right, guys, Christmas is coming this year. Go with a win-win. Give her something that's going to make her feel hot and has the potential to heat up your holiday as well. The super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy by Pajamagram. Let's face it, it's hard to get her toasty when she's freezing cold, and the Hoodie Footy is the ultimate solution to that. Combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas, and that means she's going to be cozying up to you in no time. You can find all the Hoodie Footy styles at Pajamagram.com, and if you're not into Hoodie Footies, they got something for everybody. They got a lot of sexy stuff in there. They've got something called the Nudies, which apparently is like you're wearing nothing, which I'm into that. And if you opt for the sweet and sexy gift set, you get a Hoodie Footy and a sexy midnight fantasy. You buy both today at Pajamagram.com. You save $40. No need to gift wrap because, like always, every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery, like always, guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Tell them AJ from ESPN 97.5 sent you.
The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? What to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T. Scott, and I almost did it, at Degenerates 975. I almost pulled a producer T. Scott there, but I didn't.
Aw, come on.
You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. A lot of Texans talk a little bit about the rest of the league. And you asked me something. Are they a playoff team if Deshaun Watson's still playing? And I think they're certainly in contention right now because I don't think they're anything worse than 500. And I think one of those games that they got blown out, I think the game shape is completely different if he's in there. And,
yeah.
Because you look at the Rams game, and they're hanging around at halftime, and then the game gets out of line. I don't know if that game would have gone the same way. It probably would have been a shootout like the Seahawks game, and the defense would have blown it late. But, you know, I think you just don't know because there's so many games where they've had no offense to speak of.
Well, but there's also games like last week's game against the Titans where – they seemingly had plenty of offense. But
they were terrible in the red zone, and that was something he was great at.
They had no trouble moving the ball, though, and they still lost by double digits.
And right? I think if he's there, they score touchdowns instead of missed field goals. And you know that's the difference. So there's no way to really know, but I do think.
You know what I really think the biggest issue is the if you go through the season. The best rushing performance by a player, 75 yards. They haven't had anyone rush for more than 75 yards this season.
Well, that's another thing that's kind of missing is when Watson was out there, he was adding 60 yards a game rushing, basically.
Yeah.
And that opened up your running game a little bit, too. And it just changed everything. So, yeah, it's hard for me to sit here and speculate. And you know, there's a lot of people blaming Rick Smith and all this. And I would just say there's...
Well, by the way, ownership should get some blame, too.
They should... But the reality is, I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and say, well, it's all Rick Smith's fault when you look at the guys made a lot of good positive moves, too. I mean, you've drafted some superstar players much lower than they should have gone.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, for one. J.J. Watt, obviously, has been here for a while, but it probably isn't going to be that great anymore. But Hopkins has turned out to be a star in this league, and he went 22nd overall, 27th.
Yeah.
And then... you know, I think the move for Watson is going to turn out to pay off. They've really done a good job getting some big name. Whitney Mercilus is a star in this league when he's healthy. There's some good drafting going on there. There's also some bad stuff, and that's the thing. You have to look at the whole picture, and it's real easy right now when they're down to nothing, and a third quarterback, and you know now Will Fuller I think the jury's still out on, but. Yeah, it's...
Well, I think Will Fuller, when Deshaun Watson's out there, is a different animal.
Well, because he has trouble getting open, and Watson buys time.
Yep.
And once he does get open, he's pretty explosive when he gets in the open field. So, again, so much of this offense depends on that, and frankly, so much of the defense, because you know they can't make any mistakes, and they're making mistakes. And I just think that you know the whole Mike Vrabel experiment is not working, and that has to be addressed. But the other question is, and somebody brought this up on the text line a little while back, okay, if you're going to get rid of Bill O'Brien, who's out there to go get? Are you going to upgrade? To me, the only name that if he wants to come back to the NFL, where I say, okay, Bill, I'll see you later, is Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Knowing that he's, you know, he's a 3 or 4 year guy before he rubs everybody the wrong way. But I bet you with Deshaun Watson in those 3 or 4 years, you're going to make a run at a Super Bowl if Jim Harbaugh's here.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, who's better? Who are you going to get that's better that's out there?
Well,
you're taking a chance.
Yeah, you're definitely taking a chance. I mean, Jim Harbaugh to me would be a slam dunk. I wonder if, and I don't know if it would be the exact same thing because you're talking about bringing a guy from the same place, but I wonder if giving Josh McDaniels another shot would be any different.
No.
He's still only 41. I mean, it's not like he's a failed coach.
No, but I don't want any more part of the Belichick tree.
You know who's interesting? It's Frank Reich, who has developed Carson Wentz from a really raw prospect into, until yesterday, a legitimate MVP. League MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And I think he's interesting, and he's not a retread. And imagine if you put him with Deshaun Watson. I mean, if he can get that much out of Carson Wentz, I mean, Deshaun Watson's got some pretty awesome raw tools that would be interesting. Other than that, I don't know if there's anybody else I'm really interested in. Yeah. I mean,
and see, I'm okay with giving him a full year with Watson based on what I saw him do. But I'm also going to be, if I'm the owner, I'm also saying we're fixing this defense. Whether Romeo takes it back over or we go out and get somebody, this is not happening.
Okay.
And, you know, sorry, I know you all love Mike Vrabel and think he ought to be a head coach because he's a good-looking guy and everybody likes him. But results, man, and a lot of that's on him.
Well, and
I'm blowing up my special teams yet again. Larry, yeah. Izzo, see you, buddy.
One other name, Chris Richard, the DC in Seattle, especially now that you look at Dan Quinn and Gus Bradley both having some real success, maybe that's a nice tree to pick from. You know, and if you'd asked me about Gus Bradley 2 years ago, I would have said, oh, it looks like it's going bad, but now he's running the best defense in the league. So maybe that's an... My thought is the Texans will want to go with another offensive guy because they've got this shiny quarterback that they want to make the most of. And I understand that, but I also think when the Texans are at their best, they're playing really good defense, and that might not be a bad way to go.
Well, we'll try to zip through all the games here next segment because we
forgot.
No, we didn't forget. Just
I forgot.
We went way over on the segment before, so we didn't really have time to go through them, so...
Guys, shopping for electricity rates can be a painful experience. Triangle's trying to make it easy for you. They're a born and raised in Texas company, and they provide simple fixed rates, which mean you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. It's an easy, fast sign-up process with no gimmicks and no surprises on your bill. In fact, you're going to receive a weekly usage update so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill even hits the mail. And they're not just trying to hit you with the low rates, which they are. The rates are great, but they're also just trying to make your home more energy efficient overall. They've got a lot of little tools and tricks that they'll send your way to help make your home more energy efficient. Sign up for the basic Eagle 12. Locks you in for 12 months at 8.7 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. What are you waiting for, guys? It's an easy decision you can feel good about. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE. Or visit TryEagleEnergy.com. That's TryEagleEnergy.com. PUCT number 10064.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman from The Blitz. BetDSI is one of the internet's top sports books. Don't ask me. Just check out the sportsbook review sites. They are rated A+. They've got an impeccable reputation, fantastic features, easy deposits, and speedy withdrawals with pretty much every bet type imaginable.
Go to betdsi.com right now. Use my promo code BLITZ25 to get a $25 free wager just for registering. You can bet parlays, teasers, straight bets, futures. BetDSI.com offers lines on nearly every sporting event you would want to bet. Nothing makes watching football games better than wagering while the action is live. BetDSI offers live betting and prop bets while games are in progress. But they aren't just a world-class sports book. BetDSI has a fantastic online casino and race book. You can bring Vegas right to your living room or take it on the go with your mobile device. If you ever get bored of betting on ball games, there are plenty of other ways to get some action at BetDSI. You can find odds on politics, reality TV, and pretty much everything else. If you're looking for a different online sports book, you've come to the right place. Over 20 years paying winners. Use your sports knowledge and love of the game to make some extra cash. If you decide to deposit, you'll get a 200% bonus match on your money right now. Play on the go with their easy-to-use mobile interface. Once again, go to BetDSI.com, use promo code BLITZ25, and get a free $25 wager on the house and 200% extra bonus when you deposit. That's BLITZ25 to get your free wager and start winning today.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We'll try to zip through all the other games, and Lance Erline joins us at 5:30, so we can ask him what he thinks.
Oh, nice.
Okay, start with Bills-Colts. I watched this game.
I did, too.
Because I love snow games. It was just so much.
I hate it.
I know you hate it, but I love stuff like that where you can't pass the ball. You can't kick. Adam Vinatieri.
It was like Army-Navy.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing.
He kicked a curveball.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
It was awesome. And there were people saying that's the worst they've ever seen in Buffalo, which is saying a lot because you get at least two of those a year there.
And they were like moving some snow around, and it was still like getting up to the calves on these players. Yeah. So that's pretty deep snow.
And that lake effect snow just kept going and going and going. And but the Bills got the win. They're 7-6, still in the playoff race.
Technically.
Yeah, with Nathan Peterman playing quarterback. Joe Webb had to take snaps at one point.
Lord, what a mess.
Yeah, but
you know what? Depending on how things shake out, they've got two games left against the Dolphins and what I'm assuming is a loss at New England.
Yeah.
9-7 in the AFC this year.
That'll probably get you in.
You got a chance.
Boy, I didn't see this one coming. The Bears just slapped the Bengals around.
Yeah,
I think the Bengals have quit.
Yeah, that was a pretty embarrassing performance. And I think they've really got to start questioning what Andy Dalton's long-term upside is.
See, maybe. I think at this stage, you throw McCarron out there and see if that.
Well, they did.
You throw out the rest of the year.
Oh, I wouldn't be opposed to that. See what you've got in the kid. But, yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to put him in a blowout. It's another thing to say, all right, you're starting the rest of the way.
Yeah. I think that they may have reached their, you know, obviously their coach is gone at the end of this year. They've been looking for a reason to finally let that guy go. I think this is it. Maybe it's time for a total reset on this thing.
Probably so. Packers-Browns game we talked about earlier. And
what a vile.
That was just disgusting. Friends don't let friends bet the Browns ever. I got my butt kicked yesterday. This was the swing game. This is the one that killed me. And I don't even feel like I was wrong.
No.
This is like the third time in 2 weeks where I felt like I was on the right side and it didn't work out. Man, that's just bad. At that point, maybe you should just stop. I may just stop the rest of the year.
That's tough. But they were one of my losses yesterday. But I also had the Niners and I had the Chargers. I lost on the Rams. I ended up going 50-50 yesterday.
The only win I had yesterday was I had a big bet on the Cardinals against the Titans. And everything else was meh. Chiefs beat the Raiders 26-15. Looked a little bit like the old Chiefs.
Yeah, we talked about this. Looked a lot better.
Derek Carr struggling, Amari Cooper struggling. Raiders now 6-7, still in it technically, but not a good time to lose, especially in a division.
I don't think the Raiders are making the playoffs at this point, but the division's not gone from them yet. But it's got to be concerning right now. And I think that the biggest difference for the Chiefs yesterday was they were able to run the ball a little bit.
Yeah. And Cowboys beat the Giants 30-10. They put up 20 in the fourth quarter in a game that was pretty tight until then.
Yeah,
it
just kind of
fell apart.
Yeah, it just started to snowball a little bit late. Dak at the end of the day, 332 yards, three touchdowns, you say, well, maybe he's back. And if Dak is playing like that, the Cowboys are they're tough to deal with.
67% completion rate. The problem with the Cowboys is they may run the table and finish 10-6 and still not get in.
Yeah, that's quite possible.
Is the division's locked up, and I don't know that 10-6 is going to be good enough this year in the NFC.
And they've got Raiders, Seahawks, Eagles left, so it's running the table even is going to be tough.
Yeah. Lions beat the Buccaneers 24-21. Game wound up being closer than I thought it was going to be because the Buccaneers put up 14 in the fourth. The Lions get to 7-6, still technically alive, but they're a long shot too at this point.
Yeah.
Same as Cowboys.
Yep.
Panthers beat the Vikings, and not the best passing day from Cam Newton, but boy, they ran the football well.
And he ran the football well, especially at the that big run at the end. And that's a good win for the Panthers. And the Vikings are a playoff team either way, but you're starting to see that they're not invincible either. You know, that was the game last week against the Falcons. They looked vulnerable. This week, obviously, they lose. They still might finish 13-3. I'd say 12-4 at the worst. But it's not. They're not a. There's no one who's run away better than everybody else in the league in the NFC for sure.
Right. They're all. I think you could throw a whole bunch of them in the same box and.
Any given day.
A couple of picks from Keenum were costly too, and that's how the Panthers get it done. Broncos beat the Jets 23-0. Who cares?
It was surprising though, right?
Yeah, it was a surprise considering the Broncos have been awful.
I almost picked the Jets to replace the Bills in my Survivor pool. That would have been embarrassing.
I almost bet the Jets. That would have been more embarrassing. Cardinals beat the Titans 12-7, and that's one where I bet that game pretty heavily, and you were worried about it because of Blaine Gabbert. Well, Blaine Gabbert didn't really have anything to do with it.
No, Blaine Gabbert was awful. Luckily, Marcus Mariota was worse.
Yeah, I think the Titans just – and I think Vegas agrees with me. From a power rating standpoint, are nowhere near an 8-win team. And the Cardinals are closer to being – I just thought the Cardinals would cover this game, and especially at home. I didn't really expect them to win, but I did have a little – money line on them too.
The Titans seem like much more of a fool's gold than Jacksonville does.
You know, it's not fool's gold, the Chargers.
No.
That team has gotten it together. They whipped the Redskins, who also appear to have quit 30-13, and a big day for Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I like the Chargers. I think they are
dark horse in the AFC.
I think so, because I would, if you put them against the Steelers team that I saw last night, I'll take those Chargers. I think they're very good. I think that obviously, you go back to the beginning of the season when they lost a couple games they shouldn't have lost. If this team was 9-4, I mean, we'd be talking about them as one of the best in the league. Yeah. And a crappy kicker is the only thing that separates them from being 9-4. And I think they're very good. They're a legit contender, in my opinion.
Eagles beat
some like disastrous thing where they
Phillip Rivers getting hurt.
You lose to the Jets or something. I mean,
I don't see that. They've got a pretty their defensive front. Is I think as good as anybody's, and Rivers in that offense, that offensive line is pretty solid. That's a good football team.
So since those two losses that they lost because their bonehead kicker couldn't make a kick and got fired, their other four losses, Chiefs when the Chiefs were
wrecking shop
rolling, Eagles 26-24 at New England. At Jacksonville, 2017 at Jacksonville.
Yeah, and they should have won that Jacksonville game. Yep. That was one that they could have won the Patriots game, too.
21-13 was that? Yeah. I mean, the Eagles was 26-24. I mean, they
were right there.
They've had one bad loss this year to the Chiefs. They got blown out by the Chiefs. Well, 14 points, relatively blown out. I think they're very, very good. They'll beat the Chiefs this week.
Eagles beat the Rams. They go to 11-2. They clinch the division, and they lose Carson Wentz.
And yeah, they lose their ticket to the Super Bowl, potentially.
At least Foles is not total garbage, but I think I don't think they're a Super Bowl team anymore.
No, I don't think so either. And it's a bummer because I think Carson Wentz is he's a really fun player to watch. And the more I watch of him, he's like, I think he's Andrew Luck. Like, he's what Andrew Luck should be when healthy. And I think that he's just a phenomenal talent. But you take him away. And the Eagles, the team is good.
Yeah, look, they run the ball very well. That offensive line strong. Defensively, they've done a terrific job.
Except yesterday.
Yeah, well, yesterday, and part of that was when the Rams, Todd Gurley was running the ball well.
A grown man running. Yeah.
And that, but I think this is a good football team, but Wentz made him a great football team.
Yeah,
and that's so where I'm at. Now I kind of think, well, maybe win a playoff game.
But realistically, how many teams of, let's just say every potential playoff team, their quarterback's out for the season, can they win the Super Bowl now? The answer is no.
No.
I mean, I can't think of a team that's in the mix right now that if their quarterback tore his ACL tomorrow, I would say, oh, yeah, they can win the Super Bowl without him.
I'll give you this. If you get Foles, who was 27-2 that year, that's the only team that could lose their guy. But I don't think they can.
I don't think you get that.
But I think if you rank them as teams that could, if you got stuck with a backup, I think the Eagles would be at the top of that list.
Well, the Eagles have one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league.
But I don't think it's going to be good enough.
I don't think so either.
Now you need everybody else's quarterback to get hurt.
Yep.
Jaguars beat the Seahawks 30-24. This one where the Seahawks just absolutely let me down. That was another big loss. And they
weren't even really, the score was closer than the game.
Yeah, they didn't even show up until the second half. And frankly, I just, you know.
Does this say more about Seattle or Jacksonville to you?
I think it says more about Seattle's just not very good.
Okay.
And, I mean, I think they're capable of good efforts. They still have enough great players to where, like, they can jump up and beat the Eagles. But they're just not consistent enough. And it's almost everything's on Russell Wilson. And if he makes any mistakes
he
at all.
He was bad yesterday. Yeah, he was. He threw some really bonehead
some
passes.
Some of that, though, was the Jaguars secondary, I think, confused the hell out of him in a couple places. And so a lot of that's Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville's defense is really good. And if they get a lead on you, they can beat you. And they will beat you. And you know, but they're the kind of team you have to get them down and make Blake Bortles beat you. And Seattle did not do that.
Well, and Blake Bortles yesterday, 18 of 27 for 268, two touchdowns.
But that's what you can do when you're in the lead.
Yep.
Because you don't have, you can run the football and then off play
and
action.
They ran the ball well.
And you run nice, safe passes. And he's very effective that way. And that's their model for winning. Can they win a Super Bowl like that? I don't think so. There's going to be a game where you need Blake Bortles to win for you. And that's where, and especially in the playoffs when the intensity level goes up. And then Steelers beat the Ravens 39-38.
Oh, God, what a brutal loss for the Ravens.
506 yards for Big Ben.
Did you watch that game last night?
I watched a lot of it, not all of it.
I'm watching the whole game, and I felt like the whole game, oh, well, the Ravens are going to win because the Ravens are playing better. And then you look up at the end, and the Ravens lose. I mean, the Steelers just found a way.
I'd like to know the numbers on fourth quarter scoring for the Steelers, because all year long they have been able to put games away in the fourth quarter, and that's what they did last night. 66 times Big Ben put the ball up yesterday.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, that's a career high.
Yeah.
Career high. Had a crazy day. And it seems weird to do that when you've got Le'Veon Bell on your team. And the Ravens, the thought was going into the game, the Ravens secondary was their strength, even though Jimmy Smith did get hurt last week, which I always tell you how important that guy is.
I think he's worth more than less than half a point, as RJ says.
Yeah. But
good game for Alex Collins, though.
Yeah, but that's a brutal loss for the Ravens, who, you know, even in the AFC, the fight is on now. And their schedule, their remaining schedule is, I mean, it's cake. It's Colts, Browns, Colts, Bengals. I mean, they should still finish 10-6 and walk into the playoffs. But this, what it does do is it makes next week's, assuming the Patriots win tonight, which I will assume, it makes next week's New England-Pittsburgh
game of the year.
Must-watch TV.
Game of the year. All right, what do we got here?
My computer career. Guys, if you maybe you don't make a lot of money, or you hate your job, or you just suck at your job, like Tyler, and you're like, man, what can I do? Something different. My computer career could be right for you. Like Trenton from New Jersey, who's a former truck driver, because he started classes at My Computer Career back in July. 4 months later, he had already started his IT career. It's not going to take you long, guys. I'm telling you, it's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. Get trained for the high-demand field of IT. Start your new life in as little as 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you're going to get everything you need to start your new career. More than just a school, though, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes are starting up soon. Go take the free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.
for that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Joining us now, he does Monday at 5:30, co-host The Bench, Mr. NFL Draft.
Where'd you guys come up with this name, The Bench?
That's what we started with back when we first got started.
Oh, okay.
Kind of being more irreverent when we first got started. It was... like, Sports Talk had really just started up full-time, 24 hours, like, for 3 years, I guess, but when John and I came on the scene. And so we said, let's call it The Bench. Listeners will be bench warmers. We can do a segment called Garbage Time. You know, we wanted to just be kind of have fun with it. So we brought that name. And then the super smart program director, our ratings were sky high, and everything was awesome at the station. And then this super smart program director and GM, the new GM of the station, said, hey, let's just change it to John and Lance. We had already built a brand, had 3 years of high ratings, and they just wanted to, you know, sometimes program directors, they want to try to
make it
look
like.
Yeah. And what ended up happening is they made decisions in programming that ended up costing us about, they added a guy to our show that nobody liked.
God, I remember that. That was so awful.
Who was it? His name was Russ Small.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know him. He had been like old school 740. He didn't fit with me and John. You heard it, Fred.
Yeah, I remember that. It was, and I like Russ. I knew Russ.
Yeah, Russ is fine. He's not with us.
By the way, we're adding Barry Warner to your show.
He's adding third guys?
Yeah.
That worked great last time. And the third guy. So advertisers eventually, we lost 65% of our ratings.
It was
unbelievable. We just sat there just watching it happen.
It was the first time I ever turned them off. I think I even texted John and said, guy, this is just unlistenable.
So they switched the name of the show to John and Lance.
John and Lance, and then they added
another guy.
John Lance and Russ, and then
that was the show name then? John Lance and Rush?
Oh yeah.
For Russ?
And Russ, yeah.
That's stupid. Yeah. What happened to that program?
It's like
is he now?
He started selling cars. Well, here's the deal.
Okay.
The Texans, that's actually a true story, but the Texans, it's not even Russ's fault.
Yeah.
The people who came over brought him from 740, and actually it was going to be him and John was going to be the first iteration of the radio show, and then Russ bailed and stayed at 740 for a better deal. And John said, what about this guy Lance? You know, he comes out and does my TV show. He's on your own weekend shows. And Dickie, the owner, is like, the GM is like, yeah, you know, he's, yeah, partner. I know in the back of his mind, I thought, this guy's going to be super cheap.
So, yeah.
And plus, he liked me because I could give him winners in football. You know,
that's good.
I had my own handicapping service at the same time. So anyway, you know, it was interesting that the advertisers had to step in, and four advertisers band together and said, either you pull Russ off this show or we're going to pull all of our money. And it was four big advertisers at the time, and they ended up acquiescing. But, you know, the Texans told them, they brought Russ over because they said he's going to be the play-by-play of the Texans. And Texas said, no, he's not.
No.
They said, yeah, he is. We just bought the rights to you guys. We'll do whatever we want. And the Texans said, I promise you that guy will never be the play-by-play voice of the Texans. And they said, well, we'll see. And sure enough, he wasn't.
Wow.
He brought over Mark Vandermeer, and the rest is history.
Wow.
A little radio history here for you.
Yeah, there you go. What a lesson.
You weren't here for any of it.
I wasn't. What year was this?
That all went down in 2000. And 2001 is when they added Russ. We were in the middle of 9/11. The guy's like, where is God now? Like, what, dude? What are you saying? We're in the middle of night. Like, we're talking with Ken. We're talking with the football coach from Rice at the time. And the second plane crashes into the tower. We're like, coach, we got to let you go. Something big is happening here. Doing 9/11 was really, really crazy.
Really intense.
On the radio. Wow.
I was in the mess hall at
were you really?
On Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
I guess that was really, really, really intense for you.
Well, no one was allowed to leave for like the next 8 days. We were full combat ready. Like,
and what did you do? Just sit there? Like, what did you do?
Just sat and waited. Sat and waited for him to tell us to do something. And then...
were you just furious, or were you nervous, or like, what was your emotion?
I wasn't like furious, I guess. I was nervous for sure. Probably scared.
Yeah, because you're potentially going to go to war. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty crazy thing, and they ended up, my unit ended up being not the first unit to go, but the second unit to go, and so they waited, I think, 6 months to send the first wave from where we were at. But yeah, it was pretty intense.
Did you pull anybody off of sports to do, like, did you even, I don't even remember what sports was at that. Like,
well,
what
was even, it was the Yankees World Series, like, or the Yankees playoff run.
Yeah, we pulled everybody off, and we all worked on it. And basically, we went around and sold newspapers downtown with all that afternoon, because we did a special edition that we printed.
Oh, did you?
And a bunch of us walked around and went over to what used to be Cabo, I guess it's El Big Bad now, and just walked around up there and sold newspapers. Gave them to them. Actually, we gave them away. We didn't sell them. The special
edition.
That's
old school right there.
It is pretty old school.
So,
get your news here, boys. Get your news.
And they were talking about, well,
bring your quarters here. No, sir. Just a nickel.
But we had to. There were some of us that had to fight at the time. We don't need to do any sports in this thing. We don't need to do sports tomorrow. Nobody cares. I mean, right. This is all we care about. And it's kind of like the show you were doing. Nobody cares about sports at that point.
What year did you and John start?
97.
I was a junior in high school in 1997.
Yeah. It's crazy that we have people. I was just a pup. And John was, you know, relatively young as well. We just, we know what we're doing. We just started yelling a lot.
How old were you?
Stuff. I was 26, 27 when I got started.
Wow.
For morning drive time sports, that was pretty crazy at that particular time. And like I said, I wasn't first choice, but I was the cheap choice.
Right. That was me when I started. My first radio gig was doing mornings in Austin on ESPN Radio in Austin. I was 23 years old.
Wow.
No idea what I was doing. No.
You know, I didn't, you know, all the stuff that I did, imitations and the fun stuff, whatever. We started off doing that, and then we got some feedback like, oh, you know, I don't think people like it. And it turns out Dickie was an older guy who had Braeburn Country Club, which is where he was just older guys.
Right.
And so those guys are like, oh, this is terrible. This is, you know, and so he's like, hey,
what the hell is that SEC guy?
We got to stop this. And then he got the ratings, and he's like, oh, okay, everything's fine. And then he, like, backed off because you didn't get ratings as frequently as you do now. You had to wait a while. Yeah. You had to wait a while, and after like 6 months, he backed off. But I remember John telling me, he's like, you got to be you.
We had a radio consultant who would come in.
We did, too. What was his name?
Rick Scott.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of famous, yeah.
Yeah, and he would come in, and he was like, oh, you guys aren't doing anything right. You need to be more like this, more like this. And then our ratings would come in, and we were doing really well. And then he would come in and be like, oh, keep doing what you guys, this is show.
Same thing.
This show's got it going on. And then, I mean, it was just like, what the hell? We're doing everything. Like, we didn't listen to you the first time you told us to
change.
We had
a radio consultant come in, too. And then, but his thing was, he told us, well, you know, why don't you do show? Tell me about your shows. And we told him about our shows. He goes, well, I mean, that sounds about like the stuff, you know, you want to be memorable and have some edge. And he goes, that sounds like you are doing that. And, you know, he still tried to do some radio. You know, he still tried to put his own radio. Like, he's trying to get paid, right?
So,
well, you might want to try to name them. You know, put the brand, spin the brand in there, and then like, okay, but the show's fine, right? Like, yeah, I'll tell Dickie to leave you all alone.
Let's talk a little bit of football before we get you out of here. The Carson Wentz injury, what's it mean to the Eagles for the rest of the season? Does it basically eliminate them from being a Super Bowl team in your mind?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because I don't think they're a. They're not a good enough running team. It's not like they can just win with running and defense. This isn't the Ravens from, you know, 2000, 2001. So I think it does. Yeah,
We were asking, is there a team you could see that, oh, they lose their starting quarterback, like a contending team right now. They lose their starting quarterback for the rest of the year. No big deal. They could still win the Super Bowl.
Well, there's never going to be any such thing as no big deal. But right now that team would be the Minnesota Vikings because it's a, you know, some would argue it's a fluid situation with Teddy Bridgewater. It's one of the rare instances. I think that's the only team to me. Well, I don't know. Maybe Blake Bortles.
No, that's true.
I mean, Blake Bortles, they're winning despite Blake Bortles, you know, and they're winning with defense and Leonard Fournette. I mean, that's as close as I've seen built to be the Ravens. In a long time.
It's funny. Fred mentioned Minnesota during the break, and I was like, for some reason, I just don't believe in Minnesota as like a Super Bowl contender. I mean, I get their record says they are, and I mean, I guess at the end of the day, that's what's important. And they're probably going to go 13-3. But for some reason, I don't look at that team and go, yeah, they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I've kind of been with you on that, but you know, I think that all changes a little bit with. I think that changes with the Wentz injury. I mean, are you? I don't know if I'm all in with the Rams. I don't know. I don't know who
Vikings just beat the Rams a couple weeks ago.
Is it Vikings? Yeah, I mean, who you got?
I don't know.
Panthers,
Cowboys,
Saints.
I think the Saints could. I think the Saints probably, I would think, head towards the top of the food chain along with the Vikings.
And I think, I mean,
and the Rams. I mean,
whichever team makes it as the sixth seed, either the Falcons or the Seahawks. I'm assuming it's going to be one of those two teams.
Yeah,
that ain't going to be an easy out.
No, that's tough. I could see a sixth seed moving on
because both those teams have the types of quarterbacks who, on a good day, are better than anybody.
Yeah.
So I think those guys could make a difference. The Ravens lost last night. Does it put them in a real bind, or because they've got a trash schedule remaining, are they going to end up being all right?
I think it could put them in a bind, but I couldn't believe the flow of that game, to be honest with you.
It's crazy.
How it went up and down so quickly. But I think, the schedule certainly helps them out, but I wouldn't just count on them. I don't see Alex Collins has helped, stabilize the running game, but I don't know. I'm not really buying what the Ravens are selling all the way. I think that's another team that on any given Sunday could, they performed well yesterday offensively, but you could see them go 10 points in any given Sunday.
Well, they've been making their hay on pass defense. They lose Jimmy Smith last week.
Yeah.
And now again, and it just happened last year too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Now they look like they can't defend the pass to save their life. And obviously it's Ben Roethlisberger. He's pretty good, but they look just lost last night.
Who's the favorite right now in the AFC? Do you guys know? Like odds-on favorite. It's New England, right?
It's New England, Patriots. Yeah.
Regardless of anything, it's going to always.
For Pittsburgh, I'm watching them every week, and like they've got two losses, and I keep saying, they're not that good.
They've only got two losses?
Yeah.
It feels like they've got
11
at least
and two.
Four.
They're 11-2.
11-2.
I would have never, ever guessed that they had just two losses.
They're them and the Patriots, both 11-2, play each other next week.
Well, assuming the Patriots win tonight.
Assuming the Patriots win tonight. But that's basically for the one seed in the playoffs.
How about what happened with those two teams yesterday? The Chiefs and the
Raiders.
I mean, I thought that might be a look at the – I thought Chiefs and Raiders could potentially be your AFC championship.
Could have been, at the beginning of the season.
I mean, wow, what has happened over there with the Raiders?
Well, I was talking about – we talked about Derek Carr early, and him and Mariota both – having season-ending injuries last year and just not looking like the same guy this year.
That's a good point. I didn't think about the season-ending injury thing with Derek and Mariota.
Well, and if you watch these Raiders games, they've done him no help. I mean, the Raiders are – I looked it up. They're third in the league in drops. And when you got Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree coming into the year, you probably feel like you're set there.
Cooper has fallen off the map.
I mean, he's a negative player right now.
Fallen off the map. And I don't know where that came from because he was better as a rookie than he is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, fallen off the map. It's unbelievable. And I look at Jacksonville and I just think, man, if they had just a little bit better, because they're built like a bully. I mean, they're defensively, that's a nightmare. Like the New England Patriots will really struggle to block them. Big time.
It's absurd that the Bills just gave them Marcell Dareus.
I know. The Texans gave them Bouye.
The Bills are such a – and that's another team I think is fool's gold. They're 7-6 and technically
Bills,
a playoff contender.
But
I don't even think they could make the playoffs. I don't understand it.
Not buying the Bills.
One Texans question before we let you go. Why the hell is Mike Vrabel not getting any heat? Man, this guy has – I know he's had injuries, but
– That's why.
But still, 14 plays over 40 yards – I mean, that's bad scheming. Romeo had injuries last year. This defense wasn't as bad. And there's just a lot of, especially on third down where they're completely out of position. Why are we not talking about the guy's doing a fairly lousy job calling plays?
I mean, he's got to get some heat. I agree with you. He's got to get some heat. And look, I know guys have to execute. The bus in New England and Seattle, I mean, those are two wins. If your defense just plays okay, and I know there's also the concern about Bill – you know, how Bill O'Brien called plays leading up to what could have been first downs in the game. But your defense sucked. Your secondary sucked. They busted both games and cost you the game. And I'll tell you all this now. I mentioned it this morning on the show. I'll bring it up here. I had somebody in the league tell me the word on the streets is the Texans are digging around on Frank Reich.
We just asked about a name. Like, who are you talking about as an OC or as the head coach?
Well, he's an OC
in Philly,
so you can't make lateral moves, so it has to be head coach.
Going from the Eagles to the Texans right now isn't a lateral move.
At first I was thinking Vrabel, head coach, and then him as a play caller, but that's a lateral move, and why would you leave Wentz?
Vrabel a head coach. He's not and proved he can be a DC
No, I think Reich, and Reich fits Bob McNair's, Gary Kubiak, Dom Capers, you know, quiet, measured, not Bill O'Brien. I mean, the opposite of Bill
O'Brien.
Well,
I said, look what Frank Reich's done. He took a...
Y'all talked about this just now?
Like, yeah, maybe an hour ago. We were talking about... Because he said, if we fire Bill O'Brien, who do you replace him with? And I said, what about Frank Reich, a guy who...
No,
who
I've heard they were digging around on him. I heard that got a text last Friday, and he said, you hear anything on Bill O'Brien? I'm like, nothing.
I had no source on this. It was just me like using common sense and saying, the Eagles had a really raw talent at quarterback who they've developed into an MVP candidate.
That's right.
Imagine if someone came here and did that, how great it would be.
Because if you're going to go, if you're going to replace Bill O'Brien, you got to replace him with somebody. You would think you want to replace him with somebody that has that touch with quarterbacks.
I told Fred, if they replace him, it'll be an offensive
guy. It won't be a defensive guy.
No.
No. And if it was a defensive guy, you're going to get an offense coordinator that's one of the highest paid in the league because you got to have somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Reich thing, I don't know. It surprised me when that name was mentioned, but when you look at his track record with Wentz, that's got to be why. If what I heard was true, that's got to be why.
The best defensive name I could come up with was Chris Richard in Seattle, just because now you've got, with Bradley and Quinn both having some real success, you think maybe that Seattle coaching tree is a good one to start picking off of. Because
yeah, but he's had so much talent over there. He's kind of a little bit of a hothead, too.
Well, that's what everybody said about Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn, was like, they had all the talent in the world. How could they fail? And now Gus Bradley, who 2 years ago I wouldn't have traded for a bucket of spit, has the best defense in the NFL. Dan Quinn just played in the Super Bowl or just coached in the Super Bowl. It's pretty hard to deny that those guys.
Where's Bradley right now?
In Jacksonville.
No. That's Marone.
No, you're right.
Bradley got fired.
He helped to build
Bradley
the best defense.
He was one of the worst head coaches.
He was a bad head coach. You're right.
Which surprised me a little bit. That's why you never know. I mean, you never know. But, yeah, he did help build some of those guys and draft some of them. But I have a hard time believing. Is Tom Coughlin really that valuable?
I can't imagine. Like, but maybe really? He is. Oh,
I just think there was a huge upgraded head coach from Bradley to Marone. And
well, and they also added Calais Campbell, AJ Bouye.
Calais Campbell was a great
Marcel
pickup.
Darius.
Marcel. Yeah. And, and Jalen Ramsey is now maybe the premier lockdown corner in the league, and it's only his second year.
Somebody called that last year.
You did.
That Jalen Ramsey would be the best cornerback in the league.
Who was that somebody?
Me.
Okay. I'm just making sure. You weren't going to say, I was going who called it? You said, John McClain.
No. But Bradley's DC for the Chargers, which.
You're right.
Also doing
still
a pretty good
solid
job.
There. Yeah.
Doing a damn good job. Yeah.
I can remember when Fred said that. He said Jalen Ramsey was going to be really good.
If Jalen Ramsey's any good, I'll eat this paper. He had like five things where he lost bets and had to eat paper and do this and do that. Like, if Johnny Manziel's not drafted by the Texans, I will do that. Like, no.
If I was his doctor, I would tell him, strictly eat paper from now on.
Just paper eating? Well, keep making bets, and that will happen.
If you eat nothing but paper for probably 6 months, you're going to be in good shape.
Paper.
That'll
eating
work.
Paper. I did that when I was a kid. No flavor.
No. Yeah, terrible. No,
you got to put glue on it.
That's Fred's move.
Eating glue.
That's Fred's move.
All right, thanks, Lance.
All right,
Lance,
you can hear Lance.
Check him out tomorrow at 7 to 9.
Yeah, 7 to
9. 7 to 9:30, technically, he's here, but it's him and John from 7
to 9. Oh, is he helping keep that other show afloat?
Yeah, he's keeping Raheel employed for 30 minutes.
Sounds about right. Listen, guys, you want to clean your carpets, your floors, help disadvantaged children? You can do it all with Toys for Tots at Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. They're going to clean a free room of carpet with any purchase. All you got to do, donate an unwrapped toy when you call 281-DIRT-FREE. You donate an unwrapped toy, Toys for Tots, to Toys for Tots. When they come out to clean your carpets, they'll throw in a free room of carpet cleaning and a free speed dry. You got to book now, though. 281-DIRT-FREE. It's up to $159 in savings. The other guys, they're leaving behind all those chemicals, all the dirt, all the allergens that can make your family sick. 281-DIRT-FREE. They've been doing it for 30 years. They can do it for you. Clean upholstery, floors, even your air ducts. Give them a call. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll come out and take care of you. That's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.